A Sense of Truma.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of A Sense of Truma, The Benevolent Alien, with me, Angela Young. By the time you hear this, I will have finished 5 weeks of the 6-week course of radiotherapy I'm having to deal with the residue of the brain tumour I had removed 5 years ago. This past week has been a little bit up and down, but the highs have certainly outweighed the lows. And listeners have provided some tumour humour jokes, which are so bad they're actually good. I've saved a couple of them for the end of the episode. So the downs are feeling a bit queasy, but getting hold of the anti-nausea tablets seems to have warded off actually being sick. I lost a clump of hair behind my right ear, all in one go and from one place, exactly halfway through the treatment. I realised it's evidence of how brilliantly targeted fractionated radiotherapy is that the bald patch is a perfect semicircle. Thanks to listener Colin Gibbard, who said he had exactly the same hair loss pattern, as well as his sideburns. He kindly supposed this wasn't a problem for me. The other down was that the clutch went on the car. So I can't use public transport or get a taxi or get lifts to the hospital because of the risk of catching COVID and wrecking the treatment, so I was a bit stuffed. But on a Sunday morning, along came Barry to the rescue.
Well, I thought, you've got to try and help. We've got to try and help. That's what I thought. Because, you know, that's what you do, isn't it?
How did you magic up a car?
I just moved some things about and explained the situation, and people, it's surprising how nice people are, isn't it?
Yes, Barry, although it doesn't surprise me when it's you. I think it's really lovely. It puts your faith back into small local businesses run by people like you.
Yeah, and it puts your faith back in people in as a whole, really. You know, everybody moans when everything goes wrong, but like I said, sometimes it shocks you, some people. I just shuffled some things around and it worked, you know what I mean?
Barry Kempton is one of life's decent people. And remember Betty from episode 2? Turns out Barry used to go round to hers to play with her son when they were kids. Why does that not surprise me? I also had another catch-up with my consultant Sarah Jeffries about my troublesome parotid gland. I honestly thought Sarah had said carotid, as in artery. I thought it must be a medic's pronunciation of carotid. Thanks to Kathy McGinnity for putting me right. It's responsible for saliva, and I've had some swallowing problems.
So the area that got sore after the first treatment was only, it wouldn't be the whole parotid that's necessarily being majorly affected, but we know sometimes that even very subtle changes can affect people more than others. So that certainly won't be doing any harm, and if it's helping you, then that's absolutely fine.
Thank you very much indeed for providing the, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. If I say domperidone, it does sound like a champagne, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Which would be nicer. But picking them up on Friday did exactly what I hoped they would do. It made me not sick at the weekend. And I actually don't know I did speak to a psychologist about this, whether you can positively think your way out of nausea, because there have been a couple of times I felt slightly queasy, like, is it now? And I think, no, I haven't got time for that.
Okay. So you're not taking them regularly?
No, I've taken one evening when I felt a bit queasy, but that's it. I mean, I'm worried that perhaps if you start, you should, or if it's okay to take them when you need them.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Definitely. And I think the trouble is, when you're having something like this done, you're much more kind of sort of on alert.
Yeah.
So something in the past where you kind of like, you'd eat something, think, oh, I just don't feel quite right after that. And then you wouldn't give it a second thought.
No.
But when you're having something like this, you kind of think, oh, I don't feel quite right. And is it because of this? So domperidone intermittently is absolutely fine. Obviously, we just don't want, you know, being nauseated is horrible. So you've got them there. So the other thing, part of it is having the medication there so you know you've got it.
I will hear from Sarah on the penultimate day of treatment. Apart from the parotid gland, I've also been learning more about the machines that deliver the radiotherapy.
The two best-known manufacturers are Varian and Elekta. In the last episode, you may remember Jen Anthony from Elekta inviting Terry, the physics teacher, to visit their factory. In this episode, we're going to hear more about Jen and two of her colleagues at Elekta. I wanted to know what sort of people make up the team there.
The types of people or disciplines that work at Elekta are many and varied. And we have software engineers and hardware engineers. We have people that work in our manufacturing facility, marketing, finance, legal, lots of R&D engineers. We have people that work on our user experience. And it's just a lovely mixture of disciplines that kind of come together to make Elekta tick. I actually am a therapy radiographer. So I qualified in 1997 and worked clinically for 10 years before I decided to take the plunge and move into industry, which was an exciting challenge for me. But we really represent the voice of the customer and the end user. So our job is to ensure that we give a very real world example or insight to people that aren't actually or haven't actually physically worked in a hospital, an insight into what goes on in a hospital. So the busyness of a department, the importance of the workflow, the importance of keeping things simple in terms of the technology that we produce, in terms of the interfaces that we create, so that a doctor or a radiographer can use our tools simply but effectively, but also that the patient's experience is the best it can be, so that our hardware doesn't look too intimidating or scary.
And it's that which inspired the title for this episode, The Benevolent Alien, because the machine has an almost humanoid appearance with an arm at each side which moves inward during treatment, a bit like a hug. We'll hear more about the design of the machines in a moment. But first, I want you to meet two of the scientists from Elekta.
My name is Kevin Brown. My job title is a distinguished scientist. And many years ago, I was qualified as a physicist and worked in engineering on the accelerators themselves, the machines in designing electronics and software. I sort of fell into that in a sense because the company was local to where I was living. So it was rather accidental, but I was very pleased that I did because the technology is very interesting. And also, it provides good for human people, you know, in terms of the good it does for patients.
My name's John Allen. I'm chief engineer for Linux here in Elekta. And I have a slightly different story. I'm, again, like Kevin, I trained in physics as my sort of degree. But as a young man, I really wanted to work in nuclear fusion and solve the world's energy crisis. So it's not an easy field to get into, but through a few steps, I ended up working at Cullum Laboratory near Oxford, where I was working on nuclear fusion experiments to try and effectively create a little bit of the sun on Earth, as the mission was at that time. And that was what I really wanted to do, and I was really lucky to work there. And I ended up, that's a subject that really pushes the technology of lots of things. And one of the things that they're pushing the technology there was radio frequencies and RF. Now, that's really what I wanted to do. But one of the things that prompted me to move was that I started to realize that nuclear fusion was going to be a 50-year project. And as a young person, I was a little bit impatient. And there was an opportunity came to work in a different field, which needed some of my skills in high power RF, and that was working on linear accelerators, or as it's often shortened to a LINAC, which is just a word which you get from combining linear with accelerator. So you will hear the word LINAC quite a lot, because that's what we make and that's what we build.
For staff who don't have a medical background, Elekta arranges visits to the Royal Marsden Hospital to speak to the people who'll be using those machines. Kevin says this is one of the pleasures of the job.
One of our great privileges working in radiation therapy is that our customers are so highly skilled, and they represent really good partners to work with in terms of changing the way that we do radiation therapy. And we provide the technology, the tools to help them do it, and they actually do it in the clinic. And so the combination of their front-end knowledge of the needs and our back-end knowledge of the technology, they can come together and make breakthroughs effectively. I've had a long career in this. I've just celebrated my 40th anniversary, and I've seen so many changes in radiation therapy over the years. And some people still think of radiation therapy as it was all those 40 years ago, but today it is a totally different discipline, using really advanced computational techniques to optimize the radiation dose delivered to the patient to get it precisely at the point where it's required, and to avoid unnecessarily irradiating other parts of the patient's body. And our latest breakthrough is to integrate MR imaging and radiation therapy into a single machine to give the doctors the ability to see the cancer as they're actually treating it. And it's super exciting to be introducing that into radiation therapy around the world.
And it's the knowledge that the end product is saving lives that inspires John too.
I'm a technical person with a technical role, and the medical Linacs combine so many different technologies. We've got big heavy engineering, steel works that maybe even you would see in a shipyard. We've got machining of RF cavities done by diamond to 10 microns. We've got very high powers, the microwaves that are sort of 1,000 times more powerful than you'd see in your microwave at home. We've got very small measurements. So measuring the dose that goes into the patient has to be done with nanoamps. And what amazes me is we combine all of these technologies together and make something that works in a clinic and works for patients. And that's what makes the engineering exciting. It's not just one thing. You're not so much a specialist as the ability to combine all these technologies.
Thinking about how a machine looks can be extremely important, especially if the patient is a child or particularly anxious. John says appearance is a central part of design.
What we try and do is hide that technology from the end users. So the perfect linear accelerator has everything working very, very simply and never goes wrong. The analogy I sort of sometimes give is, you know, when you step into a lift and press a button to a floor, you just expect it to get there. You don't think about all the motors and pulleys and even computers these days that make that happen. You just take it for granted that it's work. You'd only worry about those things if something went wrong. And we really have to deliver technology that just works. And all of the complicated stuff that we as technical people love to do, our aim is it to be so well done that nobody ever notices us.
The other area of huge importance is research. How do you try out a machine when the end user is a patient being treated for cancer? Kevin says it's all about refining how to put the radiation where you need it most and avoiding where you don't.
We can test a lot of those things in what we call phantoms. And those are sort of models of patients effectively, not necessarily looking like a patient, but it's an experiment that you do with something that's not alive. It's, you know, sort of an inert object that you can actually simulate the treatment and simulate the way that you shape the radiation beam, how accurately you deliver it, and test all those things and see whether your new innovations have actually worked.
The people responsible for translating that into treatment are the research radiographers. Meet Donna Routsis, lead research and development radiographer at Addenbrookes.
My job is to make sure that everything that we do out there is evidence-based and current. So it keeps moving treatments in the care of the patient forward, because we don't want to be stuck in the past. You don't want to be always doing the same thing. So what that means is my role is I'm responsible for keeping an eye out for what the new techniques and developments are, what all the new understandings and the new knowledge gained. So we search the literature, find out where we need to be changing our practice to, then seeing if our current practice here matches up to that. So if it falls behind, we then create a research program to find the additional knowledge if we haven't got it, or to adopt some information that's from elsewhere. So we run that across all of our different technologies, but also against patient care as well.
I'm interested in the relationship between the research done by the manufacturers and how that translates to the information you get.
They see things from the engineering perspective, and that means they don't see the patient need or the service need going forward. So they couldn't develop a product without us. And likewise, we need to be able to inform them what we need to change to make things better.
Is there anything on the horizon that might make quite a change that you're excited about or anticipating?
Two major ones at the moment. In particular, we have something called SABR, which is stereotactic ablative radiotherapy, which is moving stereotactic, almost surgical equivalents, into a whole body scenario. So we can treat a lot more sites than we did previously, and including we can look at treating metastases and actually extending lives a lot more. The other one is we're looking at surface guided motion management, which is a relatively new technique, and it means we might be able to then monitor patients through treatment delivery.
I said it had been a bit up and down. Well, the only time I've had to wait for treatment, and even then not very long, was when the machine broke down. So I asked June Dean, head of technical operations, what happens then?
We don't run our treatment units at full capacity. We run them about 85% capacity each day. We also have decant Linacs. So the varying Linacs, we only run about 1.5 Linacs a day, patients-wise, so that if there is any breakdown, we can take that slack. So we've got places to we can move the patients around to different treatment units. If we have catastrophic failures, which they do happen rarely, we might have to cancel the patients, but we usually operate a weekend service to actually catch up the missing fractions.
So I have one more week to go, and I'm aware that the side effects might continue for another few weeks, and I might still need support. Luckily, the Brain Tumour Charity has a wide range of resources on offer, and not just medical. Eve Kelleher is their head of services.
So we offer up a whole range of services for people, and mostly it's about connecting people to the support at the time that they need it most. And that could be through one-to-one support. So it might be somebody contacting our support line. So we have a dedicated free phone number. We have a live chat service. We have email. But it also might be connecting people to more specialist expert help. So we run a clinic with Citizens Advice. So it's a money advice clinic around benefits. And we also run a service with Relate. And that's a counselling service to support people that might be struggling or just want to address issues within their relationship following a diagnosis. We also offer online communities. So it's really important. And we recognise the power of just bringing people together to share their experiences with each other and share their stories and provide that sort of peer support. So recognising the importance of having a strong relationship and how that can make a difference to, you know, how somebody's dealing with what they're going through. And we were really keen to, when partnering with Relate, that it wasn't just about, we're not saying that everybody's relationship is in a difficult place following a diagnosis. It's about sometimes having the opportunity to have a bit of a health check on your relationship and just having that added support. And being able to provide one-to-one counselling with the experts in relationship seemed, you know, a really important offer to be able to make to people to have that. Again, that safe space to talk about what the impact of the diagnosis has had on their relationships and how to strengthen those relationships.
Those family and friends have continued to supply a tune a day for my playlist, including this from my daughter. I also had a very happy memory of my children singing a McFly duet in harmony when they were about 8 and 10. I've been forbidden from playing it, but guys, you're so lucky I don't have an external hard drive.
However, I could make do with this from my son.
It's all about you, baby. It's all about you. It's all about you. Yesterday you asked me something I thought you knew. So I told you with a smile.
Now, I said I'd end with some bad jokes, so here they are. I had a brain scan, but they couldn't find anything. I told the doctor I didn't want brain surgery, but he changed my mind. What's the best thing for water on the brain? A tap on the head. Boom, boom. And that brings me to the end of this episode. My thanks to Ben Carver for sound design and to the band Feeder for the use of their track Radiation, which was written by Grant Nicholas and produced by Chris Sheldon and Feeder. If you or anyone you know is going through anything like this and needs help or support, the Brain Tumour Charity is a great place to start. Their website is www.thebraintumourcharity.org.